Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Oh, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. One more time. God's amazing grace. Not because we've been so good, but because God's love and God's amazing grace. And no, not about you, but I'm glad about it. Amen. I'm really glad about it. Amen. All right, let's get our Bibles out tonight. I want to talk to us about something today. And the title is, Am I My Brother's Keeper? Am I my brother's keeper in relationship to understanding what is the will of God? All right, I want to begin by going to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42. Now, we're going to go in the back door of this lesson. I do have a handout for you that I'm going to give you at the end of the lesson, but I want you to get the handout right now because I want you to open your Bibles and I want to go to scriptures and I want us to read from God's word. Because what we're doing here, what we're doing as Christians, and by the way, in a way, but home, as we strive to make heaven our home, that we got to follow apostolic doctrine. We got to follow the word of God, amen. If we're going to be blessed, if we're going to be blessed according to God's word, even this morning our Sunday school class, if we lack anything, ask in faith, that is, that we're going to do it by the word of God. So I do have a handout from you, but I'm going to give it to you in a minute, but let's go through it first. In Acts 2:42, and if you're down, Acts 2:42, Brother Frazier read a wonderful scripture this morning. We're going to pick it back that on Ephesians chapter 2:20, and then we'll go to the word of God. And like I said, the topic that we're going to utilize today, am I my brother's keeper in relationship to the role and responsibility that we have by being children of God, as to what the word of God says in Mark 16:16, when he says, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. All right, so in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42, the Bible says, and they continued, did you hear that right? John 8:31-32, they continued steadfast, 1 Corinthians 15:58, steadfast, unmovable, and always abound in the work of the Lord. Let me tell you something, brother, no matter how bad things may be steadfast, amen. Always continue, never give up. Keep looking for the prize in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. And they continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. The reason why we're going to utilize that phrase, because John 14:26, 15:26, 16:13, all the way to James 1:25, we have the perfect law of liberty. They was given to the apostolic doctrine, amen. That is, they knew in part and prophesied in part, but when that which is perfect and come, that's in part shall be what? Done away with in relationship to what we do. We follow apostolic doctrine. What we do here, we don't do based on opinion. We don't do based on tradition. We don't do based on what I like or what you like. That is, if it can't be tested in the book, brother, and we don't use it, amen. See, regardless of what the consequences may be. See, it got to be proven by apostolic doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And then when you go to Acts, Ephesians chapter 2, Brother Frazier just got to reading it in verse number 20 or verse 19. Let me read a few verses there and then we'll go to our lesson. Am I my brother's keeper? He says in Ephesians 2:19, he said, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but underline that word, we are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. See, if you're there, write Hebrews 12:22, Romans chapter 8 and verse number 11. That is, because we follow apostolic doctrine, who are we? We are fellow citizens with the saints who belong to the household of God, which is the church of Christ. And we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and of the prophets, Jesus Christ, himself being the chief cornerstone, and whom all the building fitted framed together, growing unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built, here we go again, together for an habitation of God through, here we go again, the Spirit, through the Word, through the perfect law of liberty, that what we do in relationship to fellow citizens, heirs of God, joint heirs of Jesus Christ, saints of God, of the household of God, because we are fitted, framed together, growing unto a holy temple in the Lord, that is, in better word, holy temple, right? 1 Corinthians 6:19 then. The reason why 1 Corinthians 6:19, because know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, amen, by us being of the Lord, saints of God, amen, when we call ourselves fellow citizens, heirs of God, and joint heirs of Jesus Christ, okay? And what we do, see, when we have men busy, we don't suggest based on what we want, we suggest based on the Word. See, and that's the same thing in our life. See, in our life, when we make decisions, decisions must be guided by the Spirit. See, when you make decisions by the Spirit, see, things going to be right because you're going to sow right. Because when you sow right toward the Spirit, you're going to have everlasting life. But when you sow toward the flesh, that is, that you can't prove it in the book. See, we can come up with an idea in relationship to being a brother's keeper. We can say, well, let's do this, let's do this, let's do this. But it can be in all violation of the Word of God, that we cannot find it in the Word of God. Amen. But when you do that just to appease the eyes of the flesh, see, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, at that point what we reap is condemnation because you're sowing wrong. And that's a principle that we always need to learn in relationship to doing what we need to do in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. So let's look at this here right quick. It's called commitment to others, amen. And I want you to go to Genesis chapter 4. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it talks about Genesis 4, 3 through 9 in relationship to Cain and Abel. When the question was asked, am I my brother's keeper? And that's the question that we need to ask today. Am I my brother's keeper? That is, do I have a responsibility to my brother, or do I have responsibility to those who are around me in relationship to that salvation? Jesus said that the greatest of all commandments is to love God with all heart, and second one's like unto, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That is, that we are our brother's keeper in relationship to those who are around us, in relationship to what Jesus says in Matthew 5, let your light so shine before men, so we may glorify our Father which is in heaven, in relationship to we being the salt of the earth, we being heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. Yes, we are. That's the mindset that we need to understand. There are people around us every day dying and going to hell. Amen. But because who we are fellow citizens, we are saints of God, see, and because of who we are, we have a responsibility to the lost. The lost can't be saved unless they see Jesus in our lives. So that's a good question that we need to ask in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. There's a beautiful scripture that talks about the fruit of the righteousness is the tree of life. The question is, how do people see me? How do people see you? If people see me like the world, well, why would they need to change? If people see me just like them, well, why would they want to be like me? Paul says in Romans 12:1, be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That is, that if we're going to be fellow citizens, it must be guided by righteousness. Go with me to the book of Romans chapter 1, one shall scripture with you. In the book of Romans chapter 1, in relationship to what the proverb writer is saying, he talked about the fruit of the righteousness is life. To have life, you got to be right in the eyesight of God. To have abundant life, of John 10, you got to have life that is life through righteousness. In the book of Romans chapter 1, and beginning in verse number 17, he says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. How is it revealed? From faith to faith. Hebrews 11:1. As it is written, look what he says, the just shall be what? The just shall live by faith. See, if you want to live, you got to be righteous. If you want to be righteous, you got to be just. You got to be justified. That word justification, that means being made right. To have eternal life, you got to have righteousness. So he says here, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. And then he said, he who wins souls is wise. So why are you wise when you win souls? Because you're righteous. That's in compliance of doing what the word of God and being your brother's keeper in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. Now, let's go to Ezekiel 3 for time's sake in verse 17 to 19. I want to read the whole thing. Ezekiel chapter 3, 17 to 19. Because I don't know about you, brother, but all those who are around us, amen. It may be your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister, your co-worker. If that question is not answered, if they don't see Jesus in my life or through my life, that they don't see me as the tree of righteousness, Ezekiel said that the blood will be on your hand. We are held accountable. Amen. In relationship to everybody that come in contact with us, if you're going to call yourself a saint of God, amen. That's the reason why you got to be righteous. That's the reason why you got to let your light shine. That's the reason why you got to be the salt of earth. That's the reason why you got to be your brother's keeper. Because we're going to be held accountable if you call yourself a saint, a fellow citizen, by the life that we live. So look what Ezekiel says in Ezekiel chapter 3, beginning in verse 17. He's a son of man, and made to a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore hear a word from my mouth. And he said, and give them warnings from me. It's a responsibility to underline what he says. And give them warning from me. It's your responsibility to warn them what the word of God is saying. Amen. Don't sugarcoat the gospel. Don't beat around the gospel. Don't add to it, take away from the gospel. You got to tell it just the way it is. Amen. It's a responsibility. You owe it to them. How can you say you love your mama? How can you say you love your dad? How can you love everybody around you when you don't tell them the good news about Jesus? Right. You go buy a Sunday's paper and if something on sale, I mean, if the store got something on sale, you're going to call everybody around you. Honey, 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 go to Food Giant. They got bacon on sale for 99 cents a pound. Amen. Or go to Target. They got a sale. Well, what about telling everybody about the good news of Jesus? Amen. He said we must warn them. We must tell them about these things. But guess what, brother? You can't tell them if you're not the fruit of the righteousness of life. How can you tell them about Jesus when you don't know Jesus? Amen. See, that's the first problem. See, how can you tell people about something you don't know? How can you justify when you're not justified? Amen? See, this lesson is null and void. If you have not been transformed, if you're not seeking you first, if you're not seeking and set in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. So he said, and give them warning from me, from the word, amen? Verse 18, he says, when I say the wicked, you shall surely die. Underline that phrase, you shall surely die. The wicked gonna die. Go to Romans 8, verse 1. Brother Ham talked about this in Sunday school this morning. In Romans chapter 8 and beginning in verse 1. I'm gonna slow it down because I want you to see it. He said, the wicked, you shall surely die. You gonna die. And you tell me, all these people around us that we have influence over, when we have been told that we must warn them because they will surely die, They're going to be just like that rich man, wake up in hell, and they're going to cry, "Father Abraham, Father Abraham, let Lazarus dip his finger and cool my tongue, but I'm in torment," and you know that? And you don't want to be the fruit of the righteousness? That is, to let righteousness live in your life? Something wrong with you. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, beginning in verse number 1, look what he says in relationship to you shall die. He said, "There therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his only Son in the likeness of sin of the flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. You shall surely die. You will be condemned. He will say, depart from me. I never knew you. Ye worker of iniquity." Brethren, it is important. It's urgent. It needs to be taken care of right now. Amen. Those around us, because he said, the wicked, like he said in verse 18, he said, "You shall surely die. And give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. That same wicked man shall die in his iniquity." But look what he said. "But his blood will I require at your hand." You're going to be held responsible. I'm going to be held responsible if we don't see the urgency of this matter. If we don't see the importance of letting your life. I know you can't make people obey the gospel, but at least people can see Jesus by the life that you live. Amen. So that blood won't be on your hand. So that you don't be held accountable. That when you should have been talking Jesus, you were talking football, or you was talking sales, or you were talking things that didn't even matter. Because what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? We need to underline this here. "But his blood will I require at your hand." Whose blood is on your hand, my hand? Because we did not see the urgency of being our brother's keeper. By being righteous, bearing the fruit of righteousness through the life that we live. Then verse 19, he said, "Yet if any man, if anyone the wicked, he does not turn." So you can't make folks do nothing. Don't worry about that. Do what you're supposed to do. You can't make folks come to church, but do what you're supposed to do. Don't be a hindrance. Don't be a setback. Don't be the reason why they don't obey, or they don't ask, "What must I do to be saved?" See, don't be that. Don't be a roadblock in somebody's life because of the life that we live. See, don't be that and call yourself a Christian. "If any man warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity also. But," and this is what I like here, "you have delivered your soul." You have did what you could do. See, I don't know what you did. You may have passed out a little card here, told somebody to go to our website, or you may gave this flyer out, invited somebody to worship, or you may have enrolled somebody in a Bible correspondence course. I don't know what you did. But when they say, "I don't want to take this course, I don't want to come to church, I don't want to go to your website," at least the blood is off your hand. Because you did something. That's apostolic doctrine. It's no getches, no gotchas. It's no buying hot dogs. It's not doing this and doing that. That don't even matter. You're using the word of God. You using God using you the way you're supposed to be used. By being the fruit of the righteous. That's sad, brethren. But God ain't playing. Because we're going to be held accountable. And then John 15, 6, for time's sake, is if a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. Luke 16. He is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them in a fire, and they are burned. To me, funerals are sad. Especially for someone who don't have the pedigree of Christian, faithful Christian, fellow citizens, heirs of God, joint heirs of Jesus Christ, that you know based on the word that they're facing condemnation. To know that the second they died, they woke up in hell, amen. That's sad. But even sadder that when we say we love them and we do nothing to teach them or show them or help them. You know what, brother? We need to be begging like Paul, I beseech you, I beseech you, I beseech you. I mean, we literally need to be begging, please come. Please let me study with you. Please take this Bible correspondence course. See, begging, begging. Because if you knew what John 15, 6, they're going to be cast into a fire and folks, they're going to burn. Do you want that to happen? The people we love? Then Mark 16, 15, 16, we know what Jesus says. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore into the world. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded thee. And lo, I will be with you even until the end of time. But guess what, brethren? Because the early church believed, the Church of Christ began AD 33, day of Pentecost, to Jerusalem, right time, right place, amen, around Acts 2:42. Now, look what it says here. In Colossians 1:23, 29 years from the date that the church was established. You know what? Because they believed in apostolic doctrine, because they believed that they had to live righteous lives, because they understood what the word of God was saying. Guess what? The gospel had been preached to every creature under the face of the earth. Ain't that something? Now, if they had the ability to hear, to do it in 29 years using the word of God, amen. Because that's what they used, amen. It wasn't no getches, it wasn't no gotchas, amen. It wasn't nothing but the word of God, amen. You ain't got to add to, you ain't got to take away, amen. We don't need to have no campaigns. We don't need to do no radio advertisement. That's, you do your part, I do my part, amen. Amen. In 29 years, AD 62, Colossians 1:23 said that the gospel had been preached to every creature under the face of the earth. And God don't change. His word don't change. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. This church can grow. This church can grow if we stay in the word. We're not trying to play a numbers game. We're not trying to go out and solicit members. But we just want to do what apostolic doctrine teaches. Amen. Amen. In relationship to understanding what is the will of God. Ain't that wonderful? See, simply because they went to God's holy and divine word. Let's go to point two. Y'all with me? Does that make sense? Look what it says. You can't see, move up front. Somebody said, I can't see where, but they sure got a lot of rooms up here. Amen. So you're in the back and you can't see. Don't say the writing too small. You just don't want to move. Okay, all right, look what it says. I'm going to read to you. Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfast in the apostle doctrine and of fellowship, breaking the bread and prayer. Acts 2:44. And all believed, were together, and had all things common. Acts 2:46, and they continued daily. They didn't do it just on Sunday. They just didn't do it Wednesday. They did it when? Daily, with one accord, in the temple, breaking the bread from house to house, make no difference who you may be. They saw the urgency of the matter. Amen. Daily, from house to house, did eat that meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Acts 5:42, and daily in the temple and every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. That's got to be our mindset. Every day we see a day, every day we wake up, we got to be telling somebody about Jesus. Amen. Amen. The early church did it, didn't they? It said daily from house to house. Did they continue to teach and preach Jesus Christ? Amen. And see, when we have that mindset, when we believe that mindset, that it's not just my job, it's everybody's job, it's all believers' the job, it's all our responsibility who bear fruits of righteousness, amen, that bear life, that don't want the blood written in their hand, we got to have that same mindset that is from house to house daily, we got to teach and we got to preach Jesus by the life that we live, amen. Amen. See, God going to bless us when you do it by the word, amen. He going to bless us when you do it by the word, amen. See, you ain't got to devise a plan. The brother ain't got to sit down and say, well, we're going to have a campaign. And we're going to do it to try to do it. And just go through the book. The book will tell you how to do it, amen. But look what happened. Because they did it that way. 1 Corinthians 3:6. Some plant, some water, but God give the increase. Luke 8:11, the seed is the word of God. Amen. When you plant that seed from house to house, when you plant that seed every day, when you plant that seed by the life that you live, and you do it every day, some plant, some water, but God going to get an increase. Yes, when you tell people to go to our web page, and they go there. When you invite people to come to church, when you enroll people in the Bible correspondence course, when we door knock in this neighborhood, that's planting the seed of the word of God. Amen. Am I right? Some going to plant. Amen. Some going to water, but God going to give the increase. Amen. We're going to believe all these scriptures is applicable to us. Amen. And when you do that, look what happened. Look what happened. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people obeyed the gospel. See, Acts chapter 2. Acts 8, converts in Samaria. Acts 8:38, Ethiopian eunuch. Acts 9, Saul of Tarsus. Later we call Acts Paul. Acts 22:16. Acts 10, Cornelius in his household. Acts 16, Lydia, Thyatira. Acts 16, Philippian jail in his household. Acts 18, believers in Corinth. Acts 19, the Ephesians disciples. See what I'm saying, brother? When you do the word of God, you're going to get results. Amen. You just do what you're supposed to do. We just do what we need to do. Amen. And when we do what we need to do, God's going to bless us. Amen. Amen. It worked for them, brother. And guess what? It'll work for us. Amen. Amen. Every time. The brother ain't got to sit down and hire no marketeer. We ain't got to do no research. It's in the book. Am I showing it to you? It's in the book. But it begins with me and you. Amen. We got to have that mindset that people are dying all around us every day going to hell. Amen. Because you're not in the faith, you're lost. Amen. Amen. In relationship to understanding what is the will of God. But like he said right here in Acts 2 and Acts 5, you got to do it daily. You shouldn't leave home. You shouldn't leave here without cards in your pocket or with flyers. At least one or two Bible correspondence courses, number one, in your pocket. You should be enrolling people in your Walmart, in the line. I mean, but don't go there cussing and trying to roll people now. Don't get mad because the lines are long, and then once you calm down, try, you want to take a Bible class from the school? It ain't going to happen. I thought I'd throw that around. Because we got to do it daily in the temple, from house to house. We got to teach, and we got to preach. We got to teach Jesus Christ by the life that we live. And then the third thing about you, what's going to happen is, it's called the flow of discipleship. Go with me to 2 Timothy 2:2. 2 Timothy 2:2. The flow of discipleship. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and beginning in verse 2. says here, he said, and the things that thou hast heard, Romans 10:17, faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God, of me, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Amen. Who shall be able to teach others also? See, when we do it by the word, faith comes by hearing by the word of God, what I have told you today, haven't I proven it by the book? When we do it by the book, based on what we have heard, see, in the presence of all of us, the witnesses, amen. And we all agree. See, and we entrust this to faithful brethren, amen. Who will be able to teach and preach daily. See, that's the flow. But see, I can't believe it by myself. Terry can't believe it. And the rest of you said, no, oh, I ain't got time for that. It's all of our responsibility. We all got to have that mindset. We all got to be transformed by the renewal of our mind, because we got to be able to teach others also by the life that we live. Amen? That's a high flow. You want me to show you? John Tigner came from Norwood. John Tigner obeyed the gospel. I saw him one day. I was preaching just like I'm doing now. I said, that old John Tigner. I saw him walking in there. Amen. I told John, I said, John, let's have a Bible study. He said, okay, good. I said, when? He said, Thursday. I said, where? At your house. I went by his house. He wasn't even married to Kathy at that time. He didn't have no children. He was a little bit younger than he is now. All right? That same night, John says, I said, what you going to do, John? He said, I want to be saved. We're going to baptize him that night. Amen. Down the road, he met a young lady named Kathy Wilson. All right? He introduced me to Kathy Wilson. He said, that's my girlfriend. I think he said that. Yeah. Amen. So Kathy Wilson started going to church. Eventually, John and Kathy got married, but she got baptized first. She became a Christian through the life of John Tigner, by being righteous. Amen. We was meeting at the house at that time. Then sooner or later, Carolyn came on the scene. Carolyn had a little bitty boy. He was a little bitty boy, like this boy. He was a little bitty boy then. She had all little bitty boys. Boom, 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 boom. They're all little bitty boys. Am I right? See? I'd go to Carolyn's house. I just study with another Carolyn. Carolyn needs to work 11 to 7. I just feel so bad, but I'd go study by with her. I said, Carolyn, wake up. I'm trying to teach you to sleep. Because she worked all night. I'm just telling you the truth. Well, ain't good Patrick ran to me for it, I don't remember. She obeyed the gospel, amen. Am I right? All of two or three of her sons obeyed the gospel. Then she met a man by the name of Paul. Burson, let me clear it up. All right? He said, well, can't no woman teach me. I'm going to do what I want to do. But by her righteousness, amen. By our faithfulness, amen. By not giving up, amen. See, we have a double ceremony. I baptized him one day. He was dripping water. Then I married him the next few minutes. Same day. Y'all remember that? He wiped all the water off of him. I do. But he got married. Am I right? See, you got to connect with somebody, amen. But you can't connect with somebody if they're not faithful, amen. Am I right? You got to be faithful. Look at Terry. He brought Brown. Sister Castleberry. See, Melanie came from Erica. Homewood had them big old green buses. They run through the hot chaparral. They got tired of them. We was at the college church. They gave them to us. Amen. But it was Erica that first started coming to the old Homewood church that we came in contact with her. But sooner or later, her mama got baptized, Lisa got baptized, two or three of her sisters got baptized. But see, you got to begin somewhere. You got to begin somewhere. Amen. But it begins with you. It begins with you. And that's what he's saying here. And the thing which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust thee to faithful brethren. Amen. Why? That we may be able to teach others. Why? By the life that we live. Amen. Amen. And folks, it's important. It's very important in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. And this is the last one. And I want you to think about this here. Everybody here has a minimum of 8 people in their web of influence. I don't know who your 8 may be, but we do. I mean, hey, you can pick up the phone this afternoon and call 8 people. Hey, meet me at Logan's. I'm going to buy you a meal. And they're going to come. Free meal. Amen. Or you can say, meet me at the mall. They're going to come. Amen. You guys got that kind of influence, center influence on people every day. Whether your mama, your daddy, your brothers and sisters, I call these center of influence. Kathy and John had a center of influence. Those two had a center of influence. They hooked up together. Amen. Paul don't want to admit it, but Callum was his center of influence. See, and that's the point. See, if Hamp would have saw Terry pumping gas, passing gas, or where they work at, and Terry would have been a cussing gas pusher, y'all know what I'm talking about? Always complaining, always fussing. Brian, when you listen to Terry, why are you going to follow somebody wrong? Amen. So what we're going to do here, and what we want you to do, is there are 8 people. This is you. And these are people all around you. See, you're going to make a list. These are the scriptures we're going to be utilizing, amen, in order to invite, to enroll in the Bible Correspondence. Tell them to get on our website. You're going to begin to do it right today, amen. You're going to go home, you and your wife. You're going to pray about it. If it's a husband and wife, y'all do it together. Have one list, amen. Amen. Start inviting them to come, amen. Barbara, do you like coming here? You do? Must be. You've been coming for a while. You get them to come. She keeps sitting there long enough. That chair going to be hers. You get them to come. Amen. Amen. They're going to come. Amen. But you got to get them to come. Amen. And we call this the center of influence. Now, Fred, you give them the list. You've been itching to pass them out. Pass them out. All right, I got everybody a sheet, got your own sheet, okay? I want you to look at it, okay? But y'all understand what I'm saying? Don't it make sense? See, we ain't going to spend no money. We're just going to stand in God's word, amen? Amen? See, but thank God, we'll mock them, amen? Thank God, see, we'll come y'all from among them, amen? Now, because we got rid of sin in the camp, now we're going to start doing God's will, amen? Amen? All right, he going to give you a sheet, and the sheet is the same thing that I've given you that's been on the slides. I want you to make one correction. But afraid that downstairs tell me about my bulletin, he said you got an error. If I correct, stop doing things because I have errors, you will never get them. Not that I don't try not to. But it's getting better. On Genesis chapter 4, I want everybody to get one. Just change the wording. Jesus said that the greatest of all the commandments was, stretch was, put is. It ain't was, it is. To love God with all thy whole heart. Y'all see that at the top? And I'm going to correct it before we put it on the website. Okay? They back to back. Okay? Now, did you, who was here this morning, get the handout too? We gave a handout this morning. I want you to get that, whoever was not here. Oh. There you go. Who didn't get a handout this morning? Raise your hand. If you didn't get a handout this morning, get one. Okay? All right. Put it right there. Thank you. Okay, very good. All right, everybody got a handout? All right. Let's pray about that. And I want you to work on that, fill it out. If you need some cards, need some Bible correspondence, courses, see Brother Tigna. Flyers, cards, we get rid of all the 2,000 more cards and pass them out. Tell people to go to our website. And for you, the tape is going, right? For you who do listen to our sermons on website, if you'd like to have a copy of anything that we pass out, there's a place on the website that you can comment. Just put on there, please get me a copy of this sermon, this handout, and we check them, and we'll mail one to you, okay? Because there are those who do. There are those who do visit our website. You'll be surprised the number of people that visit. So please, for those who are listening to the tape. Okay, if there be one here today that needs to respond to the invitation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if you're here today and you're a Christian and you have not obeyed the gospel, you come by hearing the word, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're here, you need to be prayed for. Come right now as we stand and we sing.